Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the third chapter. John chapter 3 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1117. We'll be reading responsively the first seven verses. It's page 1117, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And let's stand, as is our custom to do. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And let's read the seventh together also. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's pray. And Father, this is a significant day. Thank you for this place to come. Thank you for all of these people. And, of course, most of them from our area here. And thou dost wish to minister to each one. And then others from various places, some from far away, and thou dost wish to minister to them. Help us each, O Holy Spirit, and meet with us in power. We need thee. We need what you have for us. Bless, we pray, thy man, thy preacher, Beth of the Hiles, this morning. And throughout the week, give us of thy strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, there's nobody in the world that can fulfill the responsibility that's the preacher's when he stands before people, eternity-bound, to try to point to the way to eternity of happiness and joy instead of sorrow, heartache, and suffering. So I need your Holy Spirit. May he be my portion for the next few minutes. Bless those who hear. Amen. There are three groups of people in this room this morning. And as far as your soul salvation is concerned, I want you to look right this way. Nobody talking, nobody moving around. Look right this way. Number one, that group of people, you know you're saved. You know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, no doubt about it. You know that if Jesus came, if the trumpet of the Lord should sound and time should be no more, and the morning break eternal, bright and fair, if the saints of earth should gather over on the other shore, and the roll was called upon yonder, you know you'd be there, no doubt about it. You know you're saved. That's group number one. And there are hundreds of us this morning, have no doubt. We could take you to the very place where we trusted Christ and got it all settled. It is done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. Oh, happy day that fixed my soul on thee, my Savior and my God. And we could tell you. But there's a second group of people this morning. And that's a group of people that you know that you're not saved. You know that if you died today, you would not go to heaven. If the Bible is true, then you'd go to hell, because the Bible says, then shall the wicked be turned into hell, and all those that forget God. For the Bible says, then shall he say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For the Bible says, those not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. You say, I don't believe that. You may not believe it, but the Bible says it, whether you believe it or not. Consequently, there's a group of people in this room this morning, scattered all over this great sea of faces. You do not know you'd go to heaven. You know that you would not go to heaven if you died. You've not been saved. Your name is not written in heaven. You know that. This morning, I want to help you with all my heart. I want to help you. But there's a third group of people here this morning. And that third group of people is formed by those who do not know. You hear preachers preach, and you've often wished that you could say, "I know for sure." There are times when you have been, if folks think you're saved, and you don't want to embarrass yourself, and so you never have come clean and admitted that you don't know that you're going to heaven. Now I want to say this. In the next 30 minutes, you're going to hear as plain and see as plain a message on how to go to heaven as you've ever heard in your life. Let me ask you a question. If there is a heaven and if there is a hell, can you think of anything more important than our discussing that subject? Can you think of any decision in life more important than whether you're going to go to heaven or go to hell? Everybody in this room this morning must die if our Lord tarries. It's appointed to man once to die. Now, all of us know that's true, but there's a second half to that passage, and it says, after death, the judgment. Now, this morning, I want to give you five statements. I'm going to speak today on the subject, why be born again? Why is it necessary to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? Now, listen carefully, because I'm going to take a little different slant this morning. Former President Carter, thank God for that, said that he was born again. And I have no doubt, but that maybe, I have no reason to doubt it, that he was born again. He said that he was born again, belonged to a Baptist church, and that term, born again, became a very famous term. For the first time in probably ever in our country's history, it was on television screens, it was on radios, it was in the newspaper, and the term born again has become a very used and popular term in our generation. Now I want to give you five statements, and by the way, what you ought to do this morning is you ought to sit up straight, look right this way, because your eternity hangs in the balance. Whether you spend eternity walking on golden streets through gates of pearl, looking in the face of Jesus, or you spend eternity burning forever in the fires of torment, may depend largely upon how well you listen this morning to what this preacher says. I'm not a great preacher. I make no bones about that. But I have a great Bible with some great truths. And of all the truths in the Bible, apart from the truth of the person of Christ, I am presenting to you the most important today. Statement number one. I wish you wouldn't take any notes. I want you to look right this way because I'm preaching to you as well as the person sitting right next to you. Number one, there are four forms of life in the world, and only four. Four forms of life. First, there is plant life. Second, there is animal life. Third, there is human life. And fourth, there is spiritual life. Now, that's it. Four forms of life in the world. Plant life, the trees, the flowers, the hedges, the ivies, plant life. Animal life, the wild beast of the field, the tame feast, domesticated feast, beast. And the animals who roam the fields. And all that forms what we call animal life. Third is human life. That's the life that God has given to you and to me. And fourth is spiritual life. Now, statement number two. I said statement number one, there are four forms of life in the world. There is first, you tell me, first what? Talk to me. First what? Plant life. Second what? Animal life. Third what? Human life. Fourth what? Spiritual life. All right. Statement number two, none of these can be promoted to a higher one. None of these can be promoted to a higher one. It doesn't matter what you do to a plant, you can't make it a puppy dog. No way. Now, you may, within the plant kingdom, you may improve a plant, but you can't improve a petunia to become a cocker spaniel. There's no way you can do that. Let me have the plant brought out here, would you please? We have a plant. Let me have the plant brought out. Hey, let me have the plant brought out. Good, all right. Here comes the plant. And let's put that plant right over there. Would you please? I want this microphone right here, too. If you would, please. Turn it up, please. Turn it up, please. Turn it up, please. All right. Good. All right. Now then, thank you so much. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a plant. Now, I don't care. Maybe you noticed that already. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this plant into a dog. Now, the way you do it is you pet it like it's a dog, like that. And then you put your hand like that, like it's a dog. Now, I have some dog food right here. And I'm going to feed this plant some dog food. And
We're going to turn this plant into a dog. All right. We're going to feed some dog food to the plant. And, you're going to turn me into a dog, I tell you for sure. So, now then, we're going to turn this plant. Now, the truth is, I don't care what you do to this plant, that plant's going to remain a plant. You can take that plant right there. You can put it in the doghouse. It's not a dog. It's a plant in a doghouse. You can feed it on dog food, but it's still a plant. You can sprinkle it. It's still a plant. You can baptize it. It's still a plant. You can take it to this Baptist church and put it in this baptistry up here. It's still a plant. You can take it across the street over here and let the priest confirm it. It's still a plant. He can give it some, you can put Holy Eucharist all around the bottom down there, and it's still a plant. You can put holy water on the top. It's still a plant. You can put grape juice all around it. Water it with grape juice or juice it with water. I don't know. But and it's still a plant. You can, the pastor can pronounce it. He can do like this and pronounce it. You be a dog. But it's still a plant. You can enroll this plant in the local kennel club. It's still a plant. You can make it, I don't care how pretty that plant becomes, it's still not a Cocker Spaniel. I don't care how holy that plant becomes, how good a plant it becomes, it cannot be transferred into the animal kingdom. No way. Why? It's a plant. I said there are four forms of life. I said, number one, I want the boys and girls to be still, and when they come back in, keep them in the hallway back there. This is life or death. I want nobody moving this morning. This is life or death. All right. Now, I'm simply saying there's nothing. There are four forms of life. What are they? First is what? Plant life. Second is what? Animal life. Third is what? Human life. Fourth is what? Spiritual life. All right. So we found out that that plant is not barking yet. It's not wagging its tail. If it does, that door's mine over there, I'll tell you for sure. It's not wagging its tail. Why? It is, I do not care. There's not a scientist in the world can make a Cocker Spaniel out of that plant. There's not a preacher in the world. You can take that plant to the Pope in Rome and let him pray over that thing and say mass over that thing, but it'll never become a dog. Why? Because it is utterly impossible for one form of life to be promoted to another form of life. All right? Would you take that plant out, Brother Weber? And tell him I want the next object to come out here. Oh. Now, this is what you call a dog. Now, I am right before your eyes. I'm going to turn this dog into a human being. I am going to, let's see, I am... Oh, you're going to come back in. Okay, fine. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do several things. First, I'm going to make it a better dog. I'm going to housebreak this dog. I'm going to have this dog quit tearing up things. I'm going to have this dog learn how to clean itself. I'm going to teach it to act human. I'm going to teach it to sit up. I'm going to teach it to walk on its two legs. I'm going to feed it human food. I'm going to take it to the steakhouse, Quincy's Steakhouse, or Ponderosa. Then I'm going to take it to McDonald's to get a quarter pounder with cheese and french fries and a chocolate shake. Got some more dogs here, don't we? I'm going to take it to Ponderosa and then to McDonald's and then to Burger King and then to Taco Bell and then to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I'm going to make it bigger. I'll do this too. I'll breed that dog with a better dog, and that way we'll get a human being. Or I'll put it in a human house. Or I'll let it join the Rotary Club. Or I'll let it run with human beings. Or I'll let it sing. We used to have a dog in our house that could sing, named Fritz. Miss Hyle's the best singer in the house, and then probably Linda, and then probably Cindy, and then probably Becky, and then Dave, and then Fritz, and then me. We had a dog named Fritz. One of our girls could get to the piano and start playing, and Fritz would run from anywhere in the house and start singing. As long as she'd play, Fritz would go, woo, woo, woo. And you know, Fritz got where he could sing the doxology and old-time religion and so forth. And so Fritz is now a young man. Fritz, would you stand, please? No, Fritz is not a young man.
Fritz is in eternity. Mrs. Howes and I would disagree as to what part of eternity he's in, but Fritz is in eternity now. Now, I want to say this. I don't care what you do to this dog. This dog's a dog. I don't care if he's baptized in this baptistry. He's still a dog. We can serve him the Holy Eucharist. He's still a dog. We can serve him the grape juice and communion. He's still a dog. Why? I said, number one, there are four forms of life. There is first, you tell me, plant life. Second, there's what? That's you, Buster. And third, there's what? And fourth, there's what? Spiritual life. All right? So, put a wafer in its hand, mouth, baptize it. You can even dress it like a human, and you can say, I now pronounce you human. And he's still a dog. He's still a dog. Why? It is impossible for one form of life to become another part of life. That means that whatever you do to a plant, you cannot make it an animal, and whatever you do to an animal, you cannot make it a plant. All right, let me have one of you, Brother Duff, come up here, would you please? All right, we have, bring that plant back in here. Bring that plant back in here. Somebody back in the room, bring that plant back in here. Brother Weber, if you'll bring it back. I want all four forms of life to be here. All right, just put it over there in front of Brother Jorgensen. It'll be fine. Now we have all four forms of life here. Could not one half that big could have covered him. All right, we have what's over here? Plant life. Then we have. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. So, I'm standing right before you this morning. We have all four forms of life. Now then, I don't care what you do to that right there. You cannot make it like... You're bored, aren't you? I even put dogs to sleep when they come to church. I don't care what you do to that form of life. You'll never make it this form of life. I don't care what you do to that form of life. You'll never make it this form of life. And I don't care what you do to this form of life, you'll never make it spiritual life. Why? Because you've got four forms of life. You've got plant life. You can improve a plant, but you can't make a plant an animal. You can improve an animal, but you can't make an animal a human. And you can improve a human, but you can't make a human a Christian. You can take this man right here. And I can put ashes on his head on Ash Wednesday. I can make him fat on Fat Tuesday. I can sprinkle water on his head. I can give him communion. I can take a wafer and give it to him. He can turn over a new leaf. He can join the church. He can get baptized. He can come down the aisle. He can take communion. He can live a good life. He can pay his debts, be a good husband, a good neighbor, a good citizen, and be the best man in town. But he cannot become spiritual till he's born again, you see. There's no way. So, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And whoop, whoop. All right. So, I'm trying to say, listen, you can become a Christian by joining a church as much as that plant there, that plant that was there, can become a dog by coming in the church. You can't become a Christian anymore by being baptized, then that plant can become a dog, that dog become a human. Why? Because there are four forms of life, they're divided from each other, and that leads me to my third point, and that is each must be born to its own life. That plant's a plant because it was born a plant. That dog's a dog because it was born a dog. You might breed that dog, make it a better dog, a more powerful dog, but it'll always be a dog. And that man's a man because he was born a man. You might make him a better man. God knows he needs it anyway. You might make him a better man. You might make him a stronger man. You might make him a better looking man. I don't care what you do to him. He's always a man. You can't do anything to one form of life to change it to another form. Every form has got to get born that form or it'll never be another. And so the plant was born a plant, the dog was born a dog, the man was born a man, and the Christian's got to get born again. I said, number one, I said there are four forms of life. I said, number two, none can be promoted to a higher one. Number three, each must be born in its own category. The plant must be born a plant. Back yonder one day, somebody put a seed in the ground, and that plant was born.
Back yonder one day the seed was germinated and that dog was born. Back yonder one day a mother and father expressed their love to each other and that man was conceived and he was born. Just as this must be born a plant, he must be born a dog, he must be born a man. If you go to heaven, you've got to get born again. I don't care how good you are, you've got to get born again. I don't care how kind you are, you've got to get born again. I don't care how religious you are, you've got to get born again. I don't care how many Baptist preachers have baptized you or Catholic priests have sacramented you or how many popes have sprinkled water on you, you've got to get born again if you become spiritual. Now, why does a person have to become spiritual? That leads us to point number four. I said point number one, there are four forms of life. I said point number two, every form of life must be, or no form of life can be promoted to a higher form. I said number three, each must be born to its own life. Number four, why then does a person have to be born again? I'll tell you why. Because the body cannot live forever. This body is going to die. Now in this body there is a soul. And likewise that soul is going to die. Everybody here, hinge on every word I'm saying. That soul is going to die. Jesus said, don't fear who can just destroy the body, but fear the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Did you hear what I said? Jesus said, fear the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Let me illustrate. You three fellows right here, stand up, would you please? All right. Brother Weber there is going to be the body. Brother Olson's going to be the soul. Brother Colston's going to be the spirit. Now, man, these three fellows represent one man. Look at it carefully. One man. One man. All right. There's a body, a soul, and a spirit. You tell me. A what? Body. A what? And a what? Man was made that way. The body is what you see here. This amazing hulk of man you see before you now. The soul is that which inhabits the body that enables us to fellowship with each other. The spirit is that part of man which enables him to have communion and fellowship with his maker, his creator, his God. Now, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, the spirit died, leaving man a body and a soul with, if you please, a dead spirit. Now, can the body live forever? Yes or no? Can the soul live forever? Yes or no? Don't forget that verse. Fear him which can destroy both body and soul in hell. But he did not say hallelujah. He did not say fear him which can destroy both body and soul and spirit in hell, because you can't destroy the spirit in hell. The spirit was made for fellowship with God. The body is temporal. The soul is temporal. You sit here this morning. You've not been born again. You only have a body and a soul. And body will die. Soul will die. Both can be destroyed in hell. So what's got to happen? Sometime before you die, before the body and the soul dies, you've got to come to a place in your life where you get, listen to me, young ladies, where you get born again. Yes, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. I'm saying you've got to come to the place where you get born again. You be the best man in your neighborhood, you'll die and go to hell unless you get born again. You join every church in town, you'll go to die and go to hell unless you get born again. I didn't say that. God's Word says it. So, we've got to get this, if this body and soul are going to live 70, we've got to get this spirit back alive before this body and soul die. Is that right? So I come and I say to this spirit, I tell this spirit the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, that leads me to number five. I said number one, there are four forms of life. What's the first? Second? Third? Fourth? I said number two, none can be promoted to a higher one. I said number three, each must be born to its own life. I said number four, nothing can live forever in the natural man. Number five, each one of these lives, the plant, there was a seed that brought forth that plant. The dog, there was a seed that brought forth that dog. The man, there was a seed that brought forth that man. It was plant seed that gave the plant life. It was dog seed that gave the dog life. It was human seed that gave the human life. And that means if a man is born again, he has to have seed. And this is the seed. The Bible says we're not saved by corruptible seed, but by the precious Word of God. So this is the seed. So when this seed is sown in you, and you respond to that seed that's sown, then you're born again. And so when you are born again, the Spirit comes back to life. When I was an 11-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I got born again. So now then, there's something that can live forever. Will the body live forever? Yes or no? Will the soul live forever? Yes or no? Can this with the spirit live forever? Yes or no? All right, so someday, a heart attack, or cancer, or a car wreck, or natural causes, the body and the soul die. Soul didn't want to die, but it died finally. Body and the soul die. It's the only time I've ever seen a soul go to sleep standing up. But anyway, but now then, this man can live forever. Why? His spirit is back alive. He has been born again. That's what the choir sang about a while ago. I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I'm a Baptist. No. I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, because I'm a good man. No. I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I have been born again. Thank you. Number five. Each must have another seed like it. I'm going to give you the seed. Hey, look right this way. Young ladies, right this way. Everybody, right this way. I'm going to give you the seed. You can have this seed this morning germinated in you, and you can be born spiritual and be born again and have the spirit back alive if you will respond to the seed I'm going to give you right now. Four parts to the seed. Part number one. All of us are sinners. All of us are sinners. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. All of us are sinners. I'm a sinner. These men on the platform are sinners. Every bad person here is a sinner. Every good person here is a sinner. The Bible even says the best person here, his righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. You are a sinner. You say, I'm a good person. Okay, you're a good sinner. But I'm a Baptist. Okay, you're a Baptist sinner. But I'm a Catholic. Okay, you're a Catholic sinner. But I'm a Methodist. Okay, you're a Methodist sinner. Okay, but I'm honest. Okay, you're an honest sinner, but all is sin. And there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. You're kidding yourself. You're pulling a curtain over yourself. You're pulling the wool over your own eyes. You're the second part of that seed. Are you listening? We've got to get this seed so you can be born again. Seed makes a plant. Seed makes a dog. Seed makes a man. Seed makes a Christian. And the seed is the Word of God. And you've got to get the second part of this seed. Number two, sinners are under the condemnation of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Number one, you're a sinner. Number two, you're under the condemnation of God, and that condemnation takes you, when you die, to an eternity without Christ the Bible calls hell. Not very popular anymore, but still true. The hell of Billy Sunday still burning. The hell that Dwight L. Moody preached is still burning. The hell that Charles Spurgeon preached about is still burning. The hell that Lester Olof preached about is still burning. The hell that Oliver B. Green preached about is still burning. The hell that John R. Rice preached about is still burning. Like it, dislike it, believe it, don't believe it, it's still there. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God, then shall it say, those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Number one, we're sinners. Number two, all of us by nature are headed toward hell. Number three, the seed. This is the seed. Listen carefully. This is the seed from which you can get born again and be alive spiritually. Number three, the penalty for sin has been paid already. But God commendeth His love in Romans 5:8 toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a life above sin, went to a cross and took your sins upon Him, charged your sins to His record, paid the penalty for your sin, dipped His soul to the torments of hell, and suffered your eternal damnation for you. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it as white as snow. The old account was settled long ago. Jesus paid your sin debt. Number four. Listen carefully. Here's the seed. Here's the seed. Listen carefully. Here's the seed. Your whole eternity can hinge on this.
If you are willing to acknowledge you're a sinner and acknowledge that you're under the condemnation because of sin and acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ, the virgin-born, sinless, perfect Son of God, went to Calvary and died on the cross to pay your penalty and rose again after 72 hours for your justification. If you are willing this morning to say, I accept that seed, that Savior. And by the way, that's what He was called. The seed of woman, Genesis 3:15 said, shall someday bruise the head of the serpent. Nothing will bruise the head of the serpent but the seed of woman. Good works won't bruise the head of the serpent. Joining a church won't bruise the head of the serpent. The seed! Seed brought forth that plant. A seed brought forth that dog. A seed brought forth that man. And a seed, Jesus, the living Word of God, as revealed in the written Word of God. He's the seed. And the minute that you say, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost without God, and I know that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin and rose again after 72 hours, and I trust Him as my Savior and rely upon Him to take me to heaven when I die, that moment, you're born again. You say, is that all I got to do to get born again? That's all you got to do, but something else goes on. A moment that in total faith, you quit relying upon yourself, your church, your denomination, your priest, your pope, your rabbi, or your preacher. You quit relying upon your good works, your good deeds, your baptism, your communion, your Lord's Supper, your church membership, and rely upon Jesus Christ and accept Him by faith as your hope for heaven. That moment, God discharges another person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. How do you feel? Doesn't matter how you feel. He comes into your life. And He, hear me carefully, He regenerates you. Hold it now. That's an interesting word. The word regenerate is the word regenes you. This dog was born of canine genes. This man was born of human genes. When you trust Christ and rely upon Him to save you, the Holy Spirit comes in and the genes, these genes right here, God regenes you. You say, what a miracle. Yeah, the miracle, but that's all His. People say sometimes, Brother House, salvation must be harder than you make it. First place, I didn't make it. I just tell it. Isn't salvation more complicated than that? Salvation's very complicated. The Holy Spirit regenerates you. Write your name in heaven, comes in you to live, forgives your sins, makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Real complicated. But God knew you were sort of dumb, so God made it easier for your part. Very complicated, but thank God, all the complicated part is not the preacher or the priest or the pope or the rabbi. It's God's part. Salvation is a work of God, and that work responds the minute you put your trust and faith in the plan that God has given, those four things I told you a while ago. This morning, look at all these lights in this building. Good night lights everywhere. Must be a complicated turn. Oh, yes, this morning early. Andy Erickson, our maintenance man, brought his custodians down here. And they started off over here, and they lit this light over here in the corner. And they went to the one right next to it, lit that one. No, they didn't. All in the world around the air extended this morning, or one of the custodians, was flip one little switch. And all the power of the Northern Indiana Public Service came to this building and turned on the lights and turned on the air conditioning. In fact, they even turned me on a little bit. And all of the power, what did we do? Flip the switch. God will regene you whenever you flip the switch. Look out this way and I'm through. Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know if you died today, it'd be serious? You're under the condemnation of God. He said, I don't believe that. You will believe it. You better believe it now while you can do something about it instead of waiting until you're burning in hell when you can't do anything about it. You may be here this morning as a delegate to the pastor's school. Ask you a question, have you been born again? You may be here this morning for the only time you'll ever come. You came to get a book. I'm asking you a question while you're here. Are you born again?
You may be a deacon in this church or a choir member of this church or a Sunday school teacher in this church. Ask you a question. Have you been born again? You say, I'm as good as anybody. That plant there may be the best plant in the world, but it's not a dog. And by the way, that dog behaved very well today. There are several things he could have done. But the fact that he behaved well and even came to a church didn't make him a human. And the fact that you behave very well won't make you a Christian. You can make that plant a dog or make that dog a man just as easy as you can make that man a Christian. You've got to be born a plant, born a dog, born a man, or born a Christian. Seed, 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 and seed. But you can be saved today. You can have your name written in heaven right now if you will simply take the seed I planted a while ago in love. And I planted that seed and said, you're a sinner. Sinners are lost. Jesus paid the penalty for sinners. If you this morning will say, yes, I will. I'll quit trusting my own goodness. I'll quit trusting my church. I'll quit trusting my communion. Listen to me. I'll quit trusting my sacraments. I am going to trust Jesus. The moment you do that, God brings in you the miracle of regeneration. Why don't you do it now? Would you bow your heads? No one leaving, no one moving, every head bowed. Not one person leaving this building.